Do not attempt to adjust your programming. You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll get fined.
Don't adjust it.
Yeah. Ryan.
Peter.
It's episode 330.
We have passed the 20s in the 300s.
Yeah. In the 30s. I thought 30s were pretty good, so I think it's going to be the same for this podcast. Did you enjoy your 30s? I mean, you're still in 30s, but did you enjoy turning 30, Ryan? I guess that's the question.
I enjoyed turning 30, but the rest of the 30s was just kind of meh.
Just meh.
Just meh.
Did you have any midlife crises or anything like that?
I had the biggest one of all. I decided to run a business renting out exotic sports cars.
Oh, man. That's like, yeah, that is quite a big one. Mine was, I wanted to start a podcast.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I could say I did the same thing, and then I ended up like with five or six different podcasts. And guess what? As of late, I'm down to one and a radio show, so I'm good.
Oh, you're down to one in a radio show?
Yeah, I haven't done the wrestling one in a while.
Oh, hiatus.
Hiatus. Hiatus.
Yeah. We know how that goes. It's understandable.
You know what, dude? There's been plenty of times where I've like, I don't know when this podcast is going to end. It might end tomorrow. It might end like a year from now. It might have already ended.
And we don't even know.
And then I'm just like... We're still recording and we're still knocking out the best podcast in the universe. Oh. And I'm very thankful for that, because no matter how long or how old we get, we're still going to do this. I think that's
right.
At a point where, you know, I know you want to get a podcast episode for every day of the year. I want to get to a podcast level where we are getting some sort of award from some social media site, and then I'll get a tattoo of it. A tattoo of the logo.
Oh, our logo.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. How do you feel about getting some B-movies and Beyond tattoos, Peter?
I feel fine. That'd be my second tattoo. I think that's makes sense.
I like it. On your left arm, you have your first tattoo, which is a shield. Uh-huh. And then on your other arm, just have B-movies and Beyond on the other side.
I mean, it would work. I mean, you know, it's kind of round and it would fit nicely. Why can't I position my arm?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. How do you do
that? I had a hard time with the camera and positioning, but you get the idea. If you're on YouTube, you can see. Go to youtube.com/@bmoviesbeyond.
Yeah, we need to get to that point of the YouTube award. I want that weird plaque that they get so we can show us unboxing it like everybody does.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. Maybe we just make fake videos on that. Maybe that will work. I don't know. But hey, it is. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're sorry.
And Beyond.
We are being movies.
That's right. Why are you
sorry?
For interrupting you.
Oh, I was interrupting you. But yeah. I just want to mention, you know, they're fining people for doing the pew-pew guns nowadays, right?
They're fining people?
Yeah. In real life, for the people in the universe, our Denver Broncos, I think it was Alex Singleton and Zach Allen, had some awesome sacks in the middle of the game and stopped the plays. And they did a pew-pew, pew-pew. Oh, and they showed them on the field. They fined them like each $13,000.
Is it a form of taunting, or you can't do guns?
You can't do guns, but I would argue, hey, a little advice, guys, on the Broncos defense. Just say that you're huge fans of B-movies and Beyond, and that's their slogan, their catchphrase, and I think the NFL should let that fly.
I agree. I mean,
we in no way, shape, or form are going to pay your fine, but if we get you up a hook, you should pay our cost to run this.
You know, I'd be willing to do is I would send them a sticker. Put it on their helmets.
Put it on the helmet. Could you imagine the announcers? They're like, oh, what is it? B movies and beyond.
Got
and
then zoom in real
far. Kevin Harlan's like, it's best podcast in the universe, though.
That's right.
Good old Kevin Harlan. Oh,
man. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just trying to say what our podcast is. That's all. You know. You gotta get the name recognition out there, even if it's just between the two of us.
Peter, I have been learning more about Facebook ads and how to utilize YouTube and intertwine all that stuff. So maybe soon I'll be an expert at it.
All right, do it. We need a marketing person.
Yeah.
So
like a good one, not a shitty one like me.
We're very busy. This is our hobby, and sometimes the hobby gets, you know, like your other podcasts, right? They go on a little hiatus. The marketing part of this podcast is on hiatus. So
I don't know if it's a hiatus if it never showed up or true. Existed.
There is a few times we tried a little bit hard.
Yep.
But you know, why we're talking about this, I mean, again, guys, everyone that's listening, the best way to spread this is word of mouth. You're our marketing people. Get it out there.
Spread that word with your mouth, just like you would. What's a good example? Like herpes.
Yeah, herpes.
Spread you can do it with your mouth, other things, but mostly your mouth, word of mouth. B-movies beyond. It's on the hat. Right. It's on the shirt. It's
sweater. On
the it's going to be on our arms.
Yeah, it will be. So we just got to get one of those awards. So we'll get it. And that's how we get those awards. If you want to get tattoos, spread the word. Like herpes.
That'd be hilarious if that's how we got the award. How'd you guys get this? We challenge people to make us get tattoos.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Yeah. But you know, if we did a challenge for like a really dumb tattoo, I think we'd get a lot more people involved.
I don't know. They might think it's dumb. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But Ryan,
yeah,
there's a lot of stuff we need to get to. I am very excited for some of the stuff we need to talk about, like trailers. Some big, well, one particular big new trailer involving ghosts. Yeah. And busting and coldness, I'm super excited about, and I can't wait to talk about that. Plus,
did you have to clean up after you saw that trailer came out?
Oh, dude, I still got stains on my pants. I watched it a few times though already. I'm like a little kid, man. Like, you know, we've been talking about trailers and just how like you know, the Marvels and stuff is not getting me pumped or anything, but this movie. I'm so pumped, and the fact that I got to wait till March is a little bit hard to swallow.
Because technically, this movie should be out like next month.
Yeah, I know. Oh, but we got that, some Terrifier news, and we got reviews of, I don't even know what we watched, but it's going to be great. Ryan, we got to move on. We got to get to this.
All right. I got a quick question for you, though.
Okay.
What? How? Why? I have so many questions!
This one's a simple one, Peter, and it's mostly a play off our last episode because we were going to review the Marvel's trailer because it was the final trailer. And I think both you and I said, nah, don't care. Don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. Then news broke that this trailer used back archive footage from Avengers Endgame to promote people who are not in this movie, and then they showed Valkyries in it, and I'm gonna say this because the trailer's out, and by the time this episode comes out, we'll see what Marvel's did. And then more Easter eggs of a villain, got her name, Phasma or something, like the reverse Miss Marvel. And then
Who that is.
Yeah, the one in the white and the red just walking by. And then rumor has it we might have a little storm going on.
A little what?
A little storm coming up. Oops.
Oh.
So my question to you, given the Marvel's final trailer showing more Easter eggs and cameos, does this approach make you want to see the movie more closer to its release date?
No. I watched that trailer because there's a whole bunch of stuff that was like released today. Wednesday was a good day, November 8th. And so when I was going through all these, I saw that one. I was like, all right, I'll just click on it. It's interesting how I feel like they're pivoting, right? Because mm-hmm. the first trailers, right? It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of like laughs and everything, yet also trying to show like, oh, it was action packed. This one dropped all the laughs, went very serious with it. And just nonstop action, which I mean, is not a bad thing, but it's always one of those things. Like, how do you compete with someone that's like Captain Marvel, who's like super powerful? You got to come up with these stupid villains that are basically the opposite of them. Right. Huh? So not too excited about that. Yeah. Seeing that there's more people in this movie than originally thought. Okay. That's kind of cool. You know, but also there was news about there's 4 weeks of reshoots for this and, you know, to try to make it more coherent, which also leads me to believe is this going to be a little bit messy? Yeah. So with all that being said, answer your questions. No.
See, Peter, the reason I asked this is because I was probably going to see this movie, but not like day of. But hearing the news that we might see some X-Men in this movie, I'm going to go see this movie tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the other big thing, right? They put in there like, this is going to change basically everything, right? Isn't that what they said?
Yes. Yeah, like they're talking about blending. This is putting two universes together, which one is going to be where we're currently at. I think what 616 or something, or what's a Marvel universe at?
Yeah, I think it's 616.
And then they're going to blend it with like the X-Men universe, and we're going to start seeing the X-Men. And from our last episode, I think we both came to the conclusion what would save Marvel right now is if they just bring in the X-Men, just give mm-hmm. us the X-Men. We don't need Avengers 2.0. We don't need Young Avengers. We don't need Spider-Man back. Just give us the X-Men and then slowly introduce the Avengers with Fantastic Four, the Young Avengers, and eventually bring back the Avengers and give us Secret Wars, right?
Yeah, Secret Wars. So you're saying this is the movie that might give us that opening to get those new characters, the X-Men.
That's what I have read into this. Yes. Okay. And they didn't really show Storm. They showed hints of who it might be, which I've alluded to it being Storm. And they've shown a couple, like if you watched a trailer before this one, it said who's next and like all the letters went away and the only one left was an X. So they're starting to really talk about the X-Men, and it does make sense. Although I didn't watch the show, Ms. Marvel, she is a mutant, and she introduced a little bit of X-Men music in there, showing that the mutants are here. So this could be the movie that does it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, well, it worked on you. They got you.
I'll report next week.
You asked me, it didn't work on me, but it worked on you. And I think this is exactly what they're trying to go for, is get those people that were like, nah, I don't really need to go see it. But, ooh, the potential of the X-Men, you know, or a little bit of it, that's exciting to you. Like, yeah, it's not enough for me. Not enough. I've seen reviews, too, that they were talking about how I've heard some people review this movie and say how it's kind of a disappointment. So, yeah. But it might not matter. I mean, you're looking for that opening. You want to see that connection so that you can get hyped for the X-Men to come back. Which, do we know when that's supposed to be slated to arrive?
Good question. They haven't announced the X-Men, have they?
I thought they did. I thought they had a couple years, like, lined up. I thought one of them was the X-Men, unless, you know, dude, with the way this latest phase has kind of, like, unfolded, like, they could totally just scrap everything they had planned and, like, nope, we need to bump this because this is falling apart.
A Screen Rant right here, just a quick little pull-up right here, says Phase 7.
That's when it's supposed to come out?
What are we in, Phase 4?
I thought we're in Phase 5.
We're in 5. But it also says, or possibly sooner. I think the X-Men are the nice little pivot. And the writer strike certainly helped out. Like, hey, this shit's not working. So let's just uproot it, throw in the X-Men, and rebuild with the X-Men. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think... I think everything get jumbled up, just like we're hearing with, we talked about Daredevil last week, you know, how they fired pretty much everyone. They're starting over from scratch. And did you see who they hired?
Mm-mm.
They hired the showrunner that did The Punisher for Netflix. So,
oh, yeah. Can we talk about that in our trailer section? Because there's a really important trailer that ties into that.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Let's. I mean, is it time?
Yep.
Okay.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
So, I kind of want to go out of order, but let's talk about these first three first. I want to go from worst to best, I guess.
Should we... I mean, we did our segue. I mean, I think we should stick true to that and start with
Echo. And it's not a movie, it's a series. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got the trailer for Echo. First and foremost, I didn't care what Echo was until I saw Echo in the Hawkeye series, which mm-hmm. I do like her. What I like about this trailer, it wasn't necessarily about her, it was about the Kingpin.
Yeah, there's a big influence. Yeah.
And I'm liking, hey, if the Kingpin is going to be the main villain of most of these Marvel TV series, dude, I'm all in. That reminds me of the 93 Spider-Man animated series where everything tied to the Kingpin somehow. You had what? The Daredevil show. You had Spider-Man. You had the only one was X-Men. But a couple things. There's blood.
Yes.
We are getting blood in a Disney series. It's rated TVMA. It's going to be the first, I think, the first of the TVMA series. And that, what you just said in the last segment was the front runner for Punisher is going to be doing Daredevil, which that tells me Daredevil is going to be TVMA. And we're potentially going to be getting a Punisher series. And these three series might be what brings my interest back to watching Marvel TV shows.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Like I'm kind of excited, and I almost wonder if the Daredevil one wasn't working because they were trying to make it funny, like what they were doing with like She-Hulk. I mean, that's the first time we saw Daredevil reintroduced, right? It was a lot lighter tone and everything, and from this Echo one, dude, I was not expecting this. And like again, the blood and the action with it, I'm kind of shocked. And so, but now I'm excited. We're like, oh crap, is MCU actually going to go a little bit darker? Have they actually learned, you know, something from Netflix and those Marvel movies or shows? So, we'll see. Now I got higher hopes. Higher hopes now.
With that announcement of it being TVMA, we got that Blade is going to be rated R.
Oh,
so Blade is going to be rated R. It's going to be the second one behind Deadpool. We know Deadpool is going to be rated R mostly because of its comedic value in being raunchy and stuff, but I'm excited for Blade because Blade's going to be bloody.
Yeah, man, they need to get these strike, I mean, the actor strike, they need to figure that shit out, man, and get everything back to going. But, you know, and maybe this has been a kind of a blessing in disguise. It's like it's given, you know, a lot of these franchises or like Marvel time to kind of like reset and reassess and think about, all right, how do we get relevant again? Because I don't feel like that's not happening. And we're seeing that again, still with the Marvels, like now that everything's getting kind of like restarted slowly, you know, it seems like they're going to have, they're going to change the pace a little bit, you know, and Echo being so bloody, these other shows being bloody, potentially, you know, two rated R Marvel movies, man, that's giving me something to look forward to for in the Marvel, the MCU.
I mean, not to play too much into this, but, you know, the level of wokeness that was implemented into our Marvel movies. Listen, I don't have a problem with it. I don't. But a lot of people do. And I think, like you said, the writer's strike kind of gave these studios enough time to realize, hey, that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And maybe the times have changed at this point where they're like, OK, now we can shift to this darker tone and tell these stories that we want to instead of focusing on current events and how people feel and such. That's my hope right there, because I just want my content to be fun and dark and brooding like, you know, DC used to be. So but I'm all in. Yeah.
Yeah, I want it to be good. And I think this change of pace will help it. So I'm excited. Hopefully we're right and they stay true to that.
The next one I want to just go over quickly was Lift with Kevin Hart.
Yeah. This is another Netflix. You know, Kevin Hart must have some deal with them because there's been a few of them. And, you know, it's a it's just like the Italian Job, it seems like. Because it's by the people that made the Italian Job / Fast and the Furious. Is that what I saw?
Ooh, maybe.
But it's a heist movie. I mean, that's what it is. Big old heist that they gotta do. And Kevin Hart is the main guy that's doing the operation. This is, you know, Italian Job, Ocean's 11 type vibe. And I don't know about you, but how do you feel about when Kevin Hart's like kind of like that main guy, but he's not playing like the weird out of his element character, right?
That was my first thought of this. I was watching this trailer and I was confused. I was like, when is this supposed to be funny? Or like Kevin Hart says something like sarcastic and asshole-y to people. No, he's trying to be,
a straight man.
Yeah.
He's trying to be the George Clooney, basically.
So you are right. F. Gary Gray, he's the director of The Italian Job, Law Abiding Citizen, great movie, straight out of Compton, and The Fate of the Furious. So,
okay.
And he did a bunch of cool music videos. But
The Fate of the Furious, which was that? That's
the eighth
one. Yeah, what happened in the eighth one? Is that the submarine?
Yes, it was a submarine.
Okay, all right.
It had to, and it's the one that sparked Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, okay.
And it was the highest grossing opening, worldwide opening of all time until Avengers: Infinity War.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
the submarine one.
Yeah.
Who has a name Gary Gray? Like I almost wrote Gray Gray or Gary.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought this was going to be a buddy movie with Kevin Hart being a Lyft driver who accidentally gets caught up in some weird heist and he has to finish it.
Yeah. If this is anywhere near as good as like the Italian Job, you know, I'm in. You know, I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, it almost looks like it's just a sequel. It's like, you know, hey, you saw that group with Mark Wahlberg. Now take a look at this group with Kevin Hart, you know?
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Speaking of Mark Wahlberg, he's in what I would expect to be a Kevin Hart movie. The Family Plan. Why don't they just switch?
They should. They probably and they should. And then it could have been a direct sequel to the Italian Job.
Oh, okay. Rewrite it, Hollywood. You got time.
Yeah.
I'd watch this one. I mean, what is it? Mark Wahlberg is trying to be a family guy, but he gets caught up in his espionage again, and he has to do it one more time.
Yep. Always.
How many times has this been done?
A lot. We've seen it a few times, you know, in various fashion, you know, like Nobody, you know. Oh, no, what's another one? I mean, kind of John Wick, but not so much. They just did that one with Chris Evans.
Yep.
And that chick, which I didn't finish that movie because it was pretty bad.
Was it Emily Blunt?
No, that's, she wasn't the main girl. I don't know who it was, but it was on Apple Plus, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of these movies. There's just, you know, there's a few. And then even like kind of like Argyle looks like it's going to be somewhat a little bit like that. But yeah, it's been done and done, you know, before. But it's Marky Mark. He's going to do some rapping. And that, so that's cool.
I know it's probably in his contract, but totally missed opportunity for them to do a Marky Mark song. And they did Vanilla Ice.
Dude, it's the same thing. Like, didn't they do that in Ted as well? Like, yeah, he refuses to do like one of his songs.
Oh, what a jerk. Just embrace it, bro. Just give it to us.
Yeah, but like he's like, you know, I'll tease it, you know, I'll do some rap and everything, but I'm not going to do what I, you know, one of my songs. It's just so weird. I don't know why he does that, but whatever. I don't know. It, you know, it doesn't look bad, but I mean, this is just straight to, you know, Apple Plus, so.
Man, Apple Plus is really making some content, aren't they?
Dude, they have come out with a lot. The, you know, these the MonsterVerse thing that they're doing looks pretty cool. I'm very interested in that. So we'll see. Hopefully they do a good job. But yeah, speaking of what? Monster. Did I do a segue?
Yeah. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's kind of monsters. Peter, do you watch these movies?
I have. Okay. And here's the thing. I started thinking about this when I was watching this trailer because I was like, is this real? Or is this one of these fake trailers that I'm getting, you know, sucked in on, you know? But from doing that, I just realized, I started thinking like I like those other movies, but at the same time, dude, I don't think I could tell you a single thing except for that there's one with Woody Harrelson in it, and he was the bad guy, and he was pretty badass. But that's, like, all I can think of. Like, so, like, they're good, but at the same time, like, not memorable. And then watching this trailer, there really was nothing that looked like, oh, man, I need to see that. Like, I don't even think I'm, even it comes out, like, on, you know, at streaming at home, I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I'm
done.
I'm the same way. Okay, I haven't. The last one I saw, and let's reverse our segue, was the one with Marky Mark.
Oh, you saw the Tim Burton one?
Yeah.
Dude, that's when they remade it. Since then, they did like prequels to everything and started basically like from scratch.
Brother, that is not a franchise. I'm just like, oh man, I need to see the Planet of the Apes. Like, I don't know why we have so many sequels after this when we can totally be getting like cool movies like Masters of the Universe or like Street Sharks.
Yeah, dude, they're missing the mark with, especially with Street Sharks. I don't know what they're doing.
CGI sucks in this, dude. It took me out of it. Like, hey, once these monkeys start looking like real kind of like people instead of just CGI characters, I'm not watching it.
Wait, so you thought it was too real?
No, I thought it was too fake. I said, meh, the CGI looks like monkey ass.
Oh, I thought, but the way you just phrased that, at least the way I heard it, is that like once these monkeys start looking like more like people, then I'll watch it.
No, how do I want to phrase this? Like, you know, Seriously, just give me a dude in a monkey suit and then CGI monkey face on him.
So you want prosthetics. You don't want CGI. You want what they did with Tim Burton. Like, they put, you know, like facial hair on people and give them monkey faces.
Yes.
Okay. I gotcha.
100%.
Yeah, I don't, dude. I think pretty much every single time another one of these comes out, I'm just shocked because I thought the last one was it. Like, it always just felt like, yeah, it could be, it should be done by then. You know, it should be over. But nope, there's always another. So it must be making money. I don't know, but I'm not in. It's not going to get my money.
Yeah, I'd rather just be strapped into one of those chairs with my eyes pried open the entire time watching the Marvels over and over. I don't even know if it's good or not.
Yeah, you say that now, but we don't know.
Hey, do we need this? Mean Girls 2024?
Do we need this? No, no one needs it. But I put it on there.
Yeah, is it a remake, a reimagining? Is it a sequel? What is this?
I think I would say it's a continuation.
Okay.
Tina Fey is doing it. And this time it is a musical, apparently. I would not have really guessed that from the trailer because I didn't hear any music. I did see a little bit of dancing here and there. So I was like, what's happening here? But it is a musical of Mean Girls, like a new one. But like, in the trailer, right? It's just like nonstop talking.
It's nonstop talking and like flashes of Mean Girls footage with new characters.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is, and I just recently heard that this was actually happening, and I was like, are you sure? I'm pretty sure that got canceled, because that sounds dumb. Mm-hmm. And then, nope, here it is. So
I don't like musicals. However, the one thing I do like is that Tina Fey is still attached to it, because she makes good shit.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that, and, you know, I don't mind musicals. And this will be interesting to see if she can actually pull that off, right? Did she actually write all the music? Like, I don't know. I mean, I love the first Mean Girls, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I mostly put this on there because I was just mostly blown away that it's actually happening and it's pretty much it's done and it's coming out in January. So that's why I put it on there, because I'm like, huh. I got that one wrong.
Well, given like there's like the Wednesday in October, like people are starting to celebrate certain things about Mean Girls, and the girls are getting back to the OG cast is getting back together. So I have a feeling there's going to be a little cameo. But
I heard that night. Well, whoever was telling me, like, yeah, they're doing a sequel and like Lindsay Lohan's in it. I'm like, oh, really? But then I didn't see Lindsay Lohan at all in this trailer.
Well, good. Don't show me until I maybe watch this movie.
Okay, there you go.
One last one. I want to get to the big one, Peter. The Fall Guy. I think this movie looks fantastic.
It does.
I think it looks great. I think Ryan Gosling forever should play a stuntman or someone who is trying to be a stuntman. And the premise of the movie, or Ken.
Yeah.
He's Ken enough for it. And from what I gathered is he's a stuntman, but Emily Blunt is the director and she didn't want to hire him. But then something happens with the main actor where they send him off to go find him, the main actor, and find him. This is all in the trailer, find him dead. Mm-hmm. And then he just does a bunch of like action shit as a stunt guy.
Yeah. I really liked the trailer, but at the same time, there was a lot of confusing stuff in there.
Even the way I described it, right?
Yeah. And like, you pretty much just described the trailer. I mean, like, there's a lot of like, all right, it starts off with like, oh, it just looks like it's a romantic comedy, right? Stuntman, mm-hmm. I do all the stunts to try to get Emily Blunt, the director. And then it just changes pace all of a sudden and turns into, oh yeah, you need to go save this, our main actor, and you're in it. We're going to send you to go do it because you're a stuntman.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts to do that. He gets in some like fights and stuff. Yeah, he finds a dead body. I guess I got a little bit confused if that was the actor or not. And then, but then he gets sucked into some other shit that actor was involved with now that he's a part of it. And then it kind of brings back like Emily Blunt again, which I'm like, but none of the scenery kind of matched though. So it almost seems like there's like it's like two different movies wrapped up in one. And I don't know how that's going to play out.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited by it because I think the concept's great, because taking a stunt guy that just, you know, like, you're good at this. You should be able to do like spy shit and see how that goes. And then Ryan Gosling, dude, he's just funny, man. Like, I think he's just hilarious. And so I'm like, that one part where he's just trying to open up his hotel door with the key card. And it that made me really laugh, because I've been there before, but the way he just overreacts to it was just hilarious. So,
oh, and the scene where he's back at the front desk waiting for it too.
Yeah. To get another one. And then it still doesn't work. I've literally been in the same situation, and it's so infuriating when you, and then just, you know, throwing cards everywhere. But yeah, this is one. Hopefully, you know, I'd watch at home.
Well, let's talk about the one that you're probably going to go see at a movie theater.
Dude, yes, this one I am getting out. And it's about time. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Like, this was my Christmas day. This is the present that I've been waiting for a long time, and they dropped it, and I cannot. Oh man, dude, I saw that you sent it to our group chat, and I was like, oh no fucking way. But I was at work, right? I was like in the middle of a meeting. I'm like, ah, I need to see this. And so like, as soon as I got a chance, like, all right, I'm done with the meeting. Like, I went and watched it. I'm like, whoa. And then a few hours later, I watched it again.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited, man. Like, just everything about this trailer, I love it. It's not showing too much, but it's just the right amount.
Gives you a good idea what the plot is.
Yeah, and that it's something different, right? It's something we haven't seen before. It's a new baddie. Don't know what it is, but it involves ice. So it's Ghostbusters.
Frozen Empire.
Frozen Empire. Thank you. I was going to say Ice Palace.
ice baby.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how, like, it's the middle of summer in New York City. They're playing cute, cool music. And then shit goes down and everything turns to ice. And then you see the firehouse. And then you just start seeing glimpses of old and new Ghostbusters. The lady, she's the mom from the first one. Now she just has shorter hair. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They showed her a few times and I'm like, who is that? Like, who's this new girl? So, thank you for clarifying that.
What, let me ask you this, Peter. What I gathered from this, from Afterlife was the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain, like, franchises where objects and scenery are characters as well, right? Mm-hmm. So, let's say the Batmobile is very much a character. In this, in Ghostbusters, Ecto-1 is a character.
Yeah,
absolutely. How satisfying was it to see that they're back in New York?
Good. You know, I dig it, but you know, I think what I learned, and I hope everyone else learned, and I think so because the movie did well, Afterlife, it showed that the Ghostbusters go beyond just New York City. It's awesome that they're bringing it back, and I really hope this is a big hit, man. I'm like so excited for this, but it's coming out in March. I mean, end of March. So, I mean, really we are starting to kind of get into blockbuster season right around it. Like it, you know, it used to start kind of like in April. Now it's like end of March now.
Go back to one of our episodes. We talked about this, that the blockbuster season has expanded to February, March time.
Yeah. Even February. Yeah, you're right.
This is a great point. And that I wanted to bring that up because given the premise of the movie takes place in summer, so we get to enjoy this for summer, and it's like the big chill, like the whoever they calling it or something along those lines. But I think it coming out in March versus coming out next month, like it was initially supposed to, plays into the plot a little bit more. And me as a moviegoer going to the movie theater, and you too for this, I think it's going to be a little bit more enjoyable just because you would get a feel for like, what if summer was going to change and be ice cold the way it was?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I mean, being right in the middle. But I think this is going to show like that you can take the Ghostbusters anywhere and you know, as long as you make it entertaining, like you got your audience. So like that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, it's going to be great, you know, coming back there, but I feel like there's elements of, you know, that they can expand this even further. Right. Cause now we got a whole new cast. Yes. You got some of the old cast there, which is awesome to see more of that.
A decent passing of the torch.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, like you got the whole family aspect, like they got Paul Rudd, the, the mom, the two kids, and they seem very involved. And now they're introducing even more characters with, like, there was some other girl that had a proton pack on that. I don't know who that is. That she started freezing up, you know, when they were talking about, like, yeah, literally like, you're going to get, your fear is going to freeze you. You know, and they got Camille Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, like, dude, they're just, and just the whole tone, man, like it just felt like Ghostbusters, right? They're totally capturing what the first two films were and are. And they're bringing those elements in, and I'm just so excited for that. Like, there's nothing that took me out of this where I'm like, oh, that wasn't quite Ghostbusters. Like, this is just absolutely 100% Ghostbusters, and I'm so excited. And Paul Rudd is fucking amazing. That last little part, man, just made me smile so much. He's like, whoa! Like, just... I love it. So
you know what I like? Okay. At first I was sitting there thinking, I was like, dude, are they really going to have the kids be the Ghostbusters? I don't think so yet. So we don't know who this new Ghostbusters ensemble is going to be. Like, I could see the kids like being part of the main story, but I could see this being a trilogy where it introduces a new Ghostbusters led by Paul Rudd, and the kids are like a little bit of a backup, and you get some adults, but it's no longer a secret. We get to see Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. We get to see Ernie Hudson. Yeah. And I'm glad they showed that right away. Here they are, and enjoy this movie. Like, this, what the new elements to this are, the new characters going back to New York and affecting New York City. Just the way the Stay Puft Marshmallow did in the was this the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the first one. So that's for me. That's what I loved about Ghostbusters, is how it was destroying the city. Like, I think another good way was Batman Returns with Gotham City, how it was wintertime and how like Gotham was completely different. I like seeing these characterized cities in different elements, and I like seeing that we're going to get New York with Ghostbusters during a major freeze that's killing people. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. Whew. I'm going to, we'll watch it again after this.
I know. Same here. I'm going to look for these people, and I'm like, who's Peter talking about? Cause I saw it like three times, but now you're going to have me jog my memory.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, are you going to watch every trailer for this movie?
Oh, I mean, yes, because I have a weird thing just where I have to do it, you know, like if it's there. But I almost feel like, I don't know, like, dude, like this was just so much, like this was enough. Like, I'm on board. Like I almost wish they waited to like the new year for this. You know, I was not expecting this. You know, I knew it wasn't coming out until March, so I wasn't, you know, really waiting and monitoring for a trailer for this, and it just came out of nowhere for me. And I'm like, wow. But like, if they did this like in January, like, dude, I mean, this is already, I'm going to be hyped no matter what until March, but like, I think January probably would have been the perfect time where I'd been like so excited till then, and they wouldn't have to had release even more for me to go and do it. So now I feel like they have to do like a couple more trailers between now and then to keep that hype up. So, and that's
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm good with this trailer. I mean, March isn't, if you really think about it, it's not too far away. We have December, January, February, March.
Like, that's the end of March.
Okay, so we're almost 5 months.
It's almost like a birthday gift for me.
Really. Oh, I see what we're doing for your birthday.
Yeah, but we're going to do it early. It's more like Aaron's birthday.
Yeah, let's get into some news. And I threw something then in the notes. I don't know if you saw it, but...
Oh,
yeah.
Did not see that.
Oh, Churro's having dreams about it.
Him just for
that's him. He's sleeping right now and he's doing his little merps. He's the most ridiculous animal. He doesn't make dog noises. He makes little merp noises. So wake funny. Up, dude. Wake up. Okay. All right. Let's get into some news. Hey, Peter, this was brought to my attention by our good friend, Jeremy. He sent me a text and said, weekend box office results were muted without Dune Part 2. Apparently, Dune was supposed to come out this week, last week. However, reading this, this last weekend was the worst box office weekend of the year, dude.
Did anything even come out?
That's what we've been talking about. I was like, October was the lamest freaking month for movies possible. They basically dedicated October for Taylor Swift. And that's some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. And the fact...
I don't know.
Dude, if you asked me when Dune Part 2 is supposed to come out, I... don't know. I didn't know it was supposed to come out last Friday. I don't even know when it's supposed to come out now.
You do not like Dune, do you?
Dude, I fell asleep through that, and it was just, I mean, visually, sure, looked great and everything, but that's about all I had for me. I was done. I don't.
Ooh.
I have no interest at all, like zero interest in this movie.
When does Ghostbusters come out again?
March 29th.
Good, because Dune comes out March 15th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
Hollywood, listen to us, dude. They move the blockbuster season early.
I guess, or maybe Dune just sucks. I don't know.
Click this next link, but link. Nintendo has confirmed that they are making a Legend of Zelda video game movie. Live action Zelda. What do you think? Should it be live action or should it be animated?
I don't know. So here's the thing. I've never played a Zelda movie or game. Don't know much about it. I know Zelda's the princess, right?
Princess Zelda. Yep.
And Link is the guy in green. He's like a little Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know. I don't really know what you know. Is he trying? He has to save the princess? I don't know. Who's the bad guy? I don't know. So, but just thinking about those elements, I think live action, you could do a lot with this if it's just down to this character Link has to go and save the princess. Yeah, good enough.
Fair enough. I think you could make a movie out of that. So you're right about Zelda. It's and it would make a good movie premise. Kotaku has a casting a fan cast for the movie already, and I encourage you to check it out. Well, this would be for a big Zelda fan. Like, this would be for you know, Nikki's husband, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Nate, right? Yeah, Nate. Nikki's husband, Nate.
He almost thinks he's Link.
Yes.
So he would love this. But a couple names you might recognize is Thomas Brody Stanger.
No.
Nope. Okay. He was in The Queen's Gambit, and he was Lucas Till in X-Men, and they call him Little Baby Tom Holland. And then the other one is Hunter Schafer, and she was in Euphoria.
For Zelda.
And then Ganondorf is the villain from Zelda, and they fan casted Idris Elba. And Navi is a little fairy that follows Link around. And I think this one's perfect is Kristen Schaal, because Navi is super annoying and Kristen Schaal is very good at being annoying.
Hmm.
So
we really should have brought Nikki's husband Nate on. He probably would have had a blast talking about who should be cast.
Maybe I'll get him. Let's get him on for we'll act like we didn't talk about this one. Okay. We'll get him on for an episode. Maybe I'll get him on for Marvel's or some bullshit. But anyway, Zelda's they're making a Zelda movie. They're expanding the Nintendo universe is what I'm getting at. I'll save this one for the last, but Thanksgiving gets a rated R rating.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we already knew that.
I think it should be X. Bring back X movies.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And then speaking of X, Terrifier 3 released a poster confirming it's taking place in Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we get a Christmas horror movie with Art the Clown.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm curious if that teaser was worth it for those that re-release the Terrifier 2. Is it actually out for people to view, or have people just like taken videos of it at the thing?
If let me lead into this, Damian Leone has said that the opening scene, the first 5 to 10 minutes of Terrifier 3, is going to be one of the most controversial scenes in movie history. So he's hyping it up, and he said, this is why I'm making it myself, and I don't have studios backing me up on this, because
nice.
He's trying to do something very controversial. Yeah. Now, Reddit, if you go to the Terrifier subreddit, there's a link to watch the teaser, should you choose to. Now, I watched it, and lining up, and I'm not going to give away anything, but to answer your question, no, it wasn't worth it to watch Terrifier 2 just for the teaser. If you're a big Terrifier fan, Terrifier 2 is worth it to watch in the movie theater alone by itself. The teaser is just a little added bonus, but I would say if you go to the subreddit, you can watch the teaser there, and it gives you an idea of everything that we just confirmed, even including that article. So, it's a teaser, but I'm excited. Yeah. And we're getting this Christmas time 2024. So
I think that's probably the most exciting thing is that when we first saw the original Terrifier, we had to wait how many years?
Six years?
And COVID screwed that up. So, I mean, I don't take that. But even then, like, COVID added on, like, 2 years to it. So it would have been 4 years that we had to wait, but COVID made it 2 years. Now we only have to wait one more year.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's cool.
The only one thing I'm just kind of afraid of is diluting Art the Clown as a character. But the best thing that can happen is more money, more budget, and a little bit more creativity. And hopefully that's what we get with Terrifier 3. So.
Yeah, dude, and I've heard about him doing what's his name again? What's the director's name?
Damian Leone.
Damian, yes. Him, like, you know, doing other things, like him doing like a Nightmare on Elm Street, you know,
okay.
Like stuff like that, where I was like, I love this idea. Especially, I mean, the way that he's doing these movies, I like is that I'm doing it independently so that he has free control. Now, if someone gave him the rights to go and do that with like a Nightmare on Elm Street, I think, can you imagine what he would do? Like, I love that idea, but I don't know if he'll be able to do that. And so That's why he might just stay with Art, you know, like, hey, Art's allowing me to do whatever I want to do. And some people might not like it, but so far, I feel like going with his gut is it's working out for him, right?
100%. The best thing that he can do is, I wouldn't say his style is necessarily like gore porn or gore fest or anything. I'd say his style, based off the three movies that he's directed Art in, is bringing back that 80s horror feel to a movie. It's very practical. The effects are very practical. And like even the style, like if you watch Terrifier 2, it kind of looks and plays out like an 80s style horror flick. And I think he's really good at that. So,
yeah, I agree.
Last but not least, we haven't been able to touch on this one, but rest in peace, Matthew Perry.
Yes.
And I didn't mean to say that as a question. He did.
I know. He did. Which did that? I don't even know when that actually happened now. Like, did we have a podcast in between? We just forgot to mention that.
Nope. It was the day after Aaron's Halloween party.
Yeah, and we recorded after that. So we missed it on the last episode.
No, we didn't.
Yeah. Today's it's November 8th. Because we talked about Halloween and everything. We recorded on November 1st. So our apologies to Matthew Perry and the Friends cast. But like, it's pretty sad, man. I was kind of shocked that this happened because he was pretty young, like in his 50s, right? And just, you know, like, and I have always liked him, dude. One of my favorite movies is The Whole Nine Yards with him and Bruce Willis. I love that movie.
One of my favorite movies is Fools Rush In because you get Selma Hayek.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. Like he's done some good stuff, man. I always enjoyed his comedy. After Friends ended, though, he felt like he had a rough time trying to get something going again. But I don't think he had enough Friends cash. So, but you know, I think he'll be missed. I think he stands out, man. Like what I always hear and I think about it now is like, oh yeah, dude, he was king of sad, like of being so, what's the right word? It's not satire.
Sarcastic.
Sarcastic. He was so good at that. So, yeah, pretty sad. I think a big one. So,
yeah, true story. RIP. And, you know, we don't have to worry about it, you know, any toxicology reports and stuff. He had his demons, he had his problems, and you know, they say there wasn't foul play. And in my mind right there, let's just end with that, to be honest with you.
Yep, absolutely. You know, he'll be missed, and you know, I think that's where we leave it.
You know what it's time for?
Ooh. Reviews.
Pew pew. And find again.
Oh jeez, man. Put those guns away. Oh man, we got some reviews for ya. I think you went first last time. Did you go first last time, Ryan? Or did you?
I'm pretty sure I did because I talked about the creator.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's save yours then, because yours is totally a killer, and I have not gotten around to it, but I do want to, and so I'm curious about what you have to say for that. But so I'm going to take the lead, and I watched, you know, older one. This I did this actually in October. I watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose,
mm-hmm.
Which when did that come out? I'm trying to look it up right now. But like I was in the mood, right? Like, you know, Exorcist Believer came out. I wasn't gonna go watch that. And so I remember this one. I was like, I remember watching it. I think I actually saw this in theaters. It came out in 2005. And I wanted to revisit it because I remember the trial aspect of it, you know, going into the court. Right. And also I think this kind of also plays into, like, I watched the Devil on Trial, that Netflix documentary where they talked about the guy that basically said that he was possessed by the devil and he killed his landlord. And it's what the third Conjuring. Yeah. It's what the third third Conjuring movie is based off of. And it just reminded me like of Emily Rose because of the courtroom scenes and everything. And I forgot that really had that was the whole movie, man. Like, it is them trying to prove their case of, you know, well, spoilers, Emily Rose dies. That happens. What? Right from the get-go. I know. Sorry. And so that is why this priest is put on a trial to, the state's going after him because they say, like, hey, you did not treat her and you basically killed her because you were trying to exorcise a demon, which that's just bull crap, right? And so basically you let her die and did not help her. Then the defense is saying, no, he did everything. He cared deeply for her. And the fact that, like, there is other things out there and different ways to treat the individual than just using common medicine. And that's the whole thing. That's the movie. It was very, I enjoyed it. I don't know why, but I like courtroom dramas though.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
That's the total opposite for me.
Oh, but really?
carry on. Yeah,
dude. I mean, dude, there's some of the best films, like A Few Good Men, man.
Oh, that one's good. And then Devil's Advocate is the one I like.
Okay. Yeah. See, now I need to go revisit that one now. But I think it's just interesting. Like, the whole, you know, just pleading your case and just trying to win over a jury, man. Especially my wife watches so many crime shows and everything. So there's always this, you know, like the trial stuff and everything. And it's amazing what some people can potentially get away with because if they have good lawyers, dude, if they got a good argument, dude, you could totally change something and someone that's potentially guilty does get away. And that actually is part of this movie where, like, the lawyer, the defense lawyer, I think it's the chick from Ozark, Laura Linney. I think that's
she's a bitch,
dude. She's good. She was good. So she's the defense lawyer, and, like, her big thing, like, she's like up and coming and everything. And, like, she got, like, this one, like, this guy that was on trial for murder off, and then the movie kind of starts for you. She gets this new trial, and then turns out, oh yeah, that guy killed again. Like, she's like, oh shit,
you know, a super convincing lawyer, dude. To be honest,
yeah, with you. She was good. And so Emily Rose is Jennifer Carpenter, the one that the girl from Deborah from Dexter.
That's Emily Rose.
That is Emily Rose, Jennifer Carpenter, which, dude, she did, like, all her own stuff, man. Like, the way that, you know, being possessed, like, I thought she did a really good job of portraying that. There's a few scenes where they did a good job where it kind of, you know, it creeped me out. And so, yeah, this movie, they just follow this, just trying to get this priest off of, you know, basically, you know, getting sentenced for murder. And it follows that and just basically it tells both sides, like, of, hey, this is what happened to Jennifer. And then it shows it from two different angles. Was she basically had, like, a medical condition? Oh man, what were they trying to say that she had? man, I really should write stuff down more instead of just trying to use my memory, which sucks. What's the one that causes like seizures and stuff? Anyone?
Seizures?
Schizophrenia? Yeah, maybe schizophrenia was one.
Tourette's?
No, not Tourette's. Yeah, she was just cursing a lot. Anyways, they were saying there was some medical condition that she had, so they started giving her like this pill. And so they were showing her like that side. And then they had the other side, like, no, we're claiming this is an actual possession, and this, so they would show it from that viewpoint where like there's demons and stuff and how she was reacting.
Epilepsy.
Yes, that's it. So they're following that story, and it is very interesting, just this back and forth and everything. So it's not your typical exorcism movie, right? Because it's almost like at the end, you have to make your own, determination of, is this real or not? You know, like it's almost like, and I think this is why I like trial movies, is that I'm going down, you know, I'm following this story, and I gotta take in all the content and then figure out who's right or who's wrong. And this one, I thought they did a pretty good job of actually just kind of displaying the facts and also the possibilities that maybe there are demons out there. Like it was kind of crazy. And then they show like the outside forces. And I think, and this is the part where they push more towards like, oh yeah, there's definitely demons out there, because there is strange things happening to the characters outside of the courtroom, right? Outside of the story of Emily Rose. And so they're really kind of pushing towards that, but at the same time, like not too much, not so much that it was just like so far over. Like this is like actually what like a good documentary does, right? That is lay out the facts and let you determine which one is it. And they did such a good job with that. So they had scares, but also had the trial aspect of it, and then left you to your own devices to determine what you believe, right? Do you believe there's potentially demons? You know, is there a heaven and hell? Like, I don't know. It left you with that. And so thoroughly enjoyed it. I think maybe not as good as I remember it the first time I watched it, but still very good, especially if you're into the courtroom drama stuff like I am. So,
you know,
you got a mixture of two films.
Little fun fact. Local news here. I was set up for, I had to call in for jury duty mid-October, and I didn't think anything of it. But then I was told the other day, my mom said, hey, aren't you glad you didn't get on this case? And I was like looking, and I was like, oh, I totally would have been on that case.
Was it a good one?
Do you want me to tell you?
I mean, is it already over?
No, there's another one where they're trying to try the... it was the Elijah McClain case.
Yeah,
the one where the police officer, like in Aurora, choked at the guy, and then the EMTs like pumped him up full of ketamine and killed him.
Oh, that one! Yeah. You was telling me about that. Yeah,
I holy shit, dude. Might have been on that trial. It was this close,
dude.
Good thing they didn't pick me.
Because we would have been recording podcasts, you'd be spoiling the whole thing.
I know, I'd be like, dude, check this out. This is what happened today.
Oh man,
I'd be in prison, it'd be crazy. But
dude, I've done jury duty. Well, I've been a part of a jury once, and
me too.
I gotta say, I enjoyed it.
It was kind of boring,
but at the same time, like seeing the whole process of it, I liked it. So I would do it again.
I would do it again. I don't know if I'd want to be on a case like that though,
where it was like weeks at a big one. Yeah, that's a big one. So, but I don't know. That's probably the same thing for. I would do a jury and be on one for the trial of exorcism gone wrong. I would do that, dude. That was crazy.
That'd be hella interesting, for sure. It does remind me, like, you got to watch Devil's Advocate, because it's not really about an exorcism, but the devil is very much involved.
Yeah. I'm in. and then it has Keanu Reeves. So, and yeah. Yeah. So I need to rewatch
and that. Charlize Theron, where she is smoking hot in that movie.
All right. Well,
all right.
Now I know I need to watch it very soon. So, Ryan, what do you got? What did you watch? Oh, yeah. I told everyone.
Yeah, you kind of told everybody. I could have played it off that it was a totally killer movie. But I watched Totally Killer. I finally finished it. I watched it before when it first came out because I was like, I give this a chance. Based off the trailer, it looked really fun, very interesting. It was fun and it was very interesting. And with time travel and a scream horror aspect towards it, this movie was super fun to watch, dude. This is one of those. Let's see, Jamie Hughes time travel. I'll just break down the synopsis. Jamie Hughes time travels by accident, but needs to find out who the killer of a high school massacre before he kills her mother in the future, because right. her mother's friends were killed in the past. And Jamie's best friend is making a time machine out of a photo booth, and they get it to work. And she goes to the past accidentally. And so it has Peter's favorite element, time travel.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing I like too is the whole, since you're going back to the 80s, they played with Jamie Hughes, John mm-hmm. Hughes, you know, was there yeah. a lot of little Easter egg things like that? Yeah. I like that.
My favorite thing about this, and it was really silly, but I like the cell phone aspect of it because Jamie.
The lack of?
No, dude, she traveled back in time with her iPhone.
Uh huh.
And that just got me thinking. I was like, because there was even a scene where she got cell service for a minute in the 80s. Huh. And her friend was like, what's that? And she goes, oh my gosh, I have cell service. And it was from like the radio antenna of the TV. But, you know, I don't know how that technically works. But I was like, that, just think about that. If I were to travel back in time and I had my cell phone in my hand, that thing would be absolutely worthless.
I mean, whatever is downloaded, maybe you downloaded some films from Netflix.
Possibly. Good point. Good point.
I will say, I think this is an important thing. I try to always have some stuff actually stored on my phone instead of just streaming it, because there's times when I don't have service or I don't have Wi-Fi and mm-hmm. I need entertainment. So
that is a more, you know, moment, because that is super important. Especially when you're traveling and you're out of music and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it plays into it because they're watching her phone battery die. So they that's how they determine how much time is left before they can figure out a reverse time machine to get her back into the future or her current state. Dude, it has holes. A lot of stuff is unanswered, but in a way, the movie just accepts it. They're just like, "Yep, this is it. This is what we do. And this is time travel. We're not trying to make a." Absolute like accurate representation of time travel. This is the movie. It's fun. We need to figure out who the killer is and move on and alter the future and save Jamie's mom. The outcome is pretty funny. And the cast of characters is pretty cool too, because they do give them some backstory. Like her mom and dad have a backstory of how they got together, when they got together. You know, there's a guy who does a podcast. His dad was an old TV reporter, and you know, his podcast is based off the high school massacre that happened. And he's just striving for content. So it's kind of one of those things where you're sitting there, you're like, I podcast, and then there's a lot of crime podcasts, and there's a lot of like, so it played on the tropes of being a podcaster too. It's
pretty cool. That really resonated with you. I podcast,
and I listen to crime podcasts, and Peter's wife listens to crime podcast too. Maybe she heard his podcast.
Me too. Maybe.
And you do. So, let me just say this. I'm not going to give away much of the movie. I gave you a synopsis. This movie's super fun. And I think you and Danny would love it because of...
Really?
Yeah, I think she would love podcasting. There's podcasting. It's a crime podcast. So there's podcasting for you and there's crime podcast for her.
Gotcha.
You can pick apart the holes in time travel, and it has a very 80s theme to it. And it's a slasher.
I like it.
This movie's fun.
Yeah, Man, there's just so many things to watch. But yeah, that's one of them that I want to watch. So I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it, because I did hear from someone else that they didn't like it as much. And I don't know, maybe, like, you know, you just got to be in the right mood and you know, let go of some of those silly plot holes, right? And just kind of
sometimes you just gotta let a movie be what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my approach with slashers. Like, I just gotta let, because I'm sitting there trying to overanalyze this movie, and you just gotta let it be fun and stupid and campy. Yeah. And everybody's gonna get killed, but nobody's gonna get killed. And then you think it's this guy, but it's not this guy, and it's usually the first guy that you think about. So
yeah, the thing, it sounds like it, you know, it stayed true to, like, its tone and everything. It wasn't trying to be, I mean, the fact that, like, oh yeah, this kid is making a time machine through a photo booth, like, right then and there, like, okay, I'm not gonna be like that. Like, if the science doesn't plan out, I'm gonna be fine, because come on, some teenager, some high schoolers trying to make a time machine in a photo booth, right? It's just silly, right? So
yeah,
I think long as it stays true to that, like, where I get upset is when movies that are like, they have a very strict tone where, like, this, they're trying to be very realistic, and then they just drop that shit like a bat pod and just go off the walls. We're like, yeah, let's just, you know, have wheels that just spin everywhere. Like, that's going to be a really enjoyable ride. Not so.
Yeah,
that's when I get upset.
You won't get upset at the time travel. I know you'll probably have some outbursts every once in a while, but overall, it's just a good campy slasher film.
Nice. Cool.
They do have some good Back to the Future references too. And on top of that, 80s references from the future. So, you know, relevant. Relevancy. Yeah.
I love it. And it's on the list as well. Devil's Advocate and Totally Killer.
Love it. I think it's time for some recommendations.
I think so.
Yes! Yes! Oh! 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 Oh, God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. Well, what are you having, Ryan?
The Devil's Advocate. But I saw a series coming up. Prime is just launching series left and right, but this series is called Upload. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, I think I've recommended it at one point.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where, like, you die and you just go to, like, a virtual reality?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
I have not finished it, but what I watched, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool concept. They're coming up on season 3, which... Initially, when I was watching it, I felt like, how are they going to keep this going? And yet they're on season 3. So somehow they have figured that out. So I need to try to get back into it. But there was nothing that deterred me. It's just that I was watching it and then something else came on and then I started watching that and I never came back.
Oh, Greg Daniels is the producer of this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this, I could see this tone. The reason I recommend it is I saw the synopsis, and my apologies if you recommended this in the past, but I think I'm going to start watching this.
Hopefully, you can recommend things all the time, man.
Hopefully we can finish up some of these series, because I got to watch Loki, I got to watch Ahsoka, I got to watch the Denver Nuggets, I got to watch Upload, I got to watch the Avalanche, I got to watch every single day of wrestling besides Thursday and Sundays.
Yeah, dude, you got a lot of series. I gotta
play Spider-Man.
Man, so many series.
I know.
Oh,
how about you, Peter? What are you recommending?
Mine is the wife and I. I made the wife watch this movie, Prisoners, with Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Howard.
Paul Dano,
the Riddler. And
Terrence Howard,
yes. When did this come out? This came out like a while ago, and I remember watching it and just being like pretty blown away by it. And so, for whatever reason, I was like, in the mood, like I wanted to watch that again. So I'm always trying to find movies for my wife and I to watch because she likes crime podcasts, crime shows, but she doesn't always like the movies like that because it's too dramatized, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, I think she'll like this one, and so I made her watch it, and I think she did enjoy it. She was on the edge of her seat. She was getting like, oh, come on, like, what is going on? And it took, you're in suspense to the very, very end. And it's such a good flick where it's about their kids get kidnapped, and then Hugh Jackman and Terrence Howard try to take it into their own hands, go around the law, which is Jake Gyllenhaal, to try to figure out where their kids went when Jake Gyllenhaal is uncovering all these, he's doing his investigative work to figure out where they are. And you just follow this throughout, and there's so many twists and turns and everything, and just so much like throughout, just kind of like just tension and just craziness. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it for anyone who hasn't seen it. So,
I was waiting for you to say this movie because I saw the notes, but Peter, this is one of my favorite movies to watch.
You've seen it?
Yeah, I have a handful of these movies where like I will, if it's on, I'll sit down and watch it. Prisoners is one of my favorite. The one with Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah, the Law-Abiding Citizen.
Law-Abiding Citizen and The Accountant. Those three, I don't know what it is about those three movies, but they just captivate me. And Prisoners is such a good movie because put yourself in their position, like the extremes that Hugh Jackman goes through as a parent, and how he is just grasping for anything at some point and going to, and you feel bad, you feel for Paul Dano because of, he's a handicap and he's just kind of like a pawn, and oh man, just, don't give away too much of this movie.
Yeah.
It is fucking fantastic. If there's people who are like, dude, what kind of movies should I watch? This is always on the top of my list.
Yeah, dude, it is so good. And just so many twists and turns and how it all plays out and gets connected. I'm like even the second time, watching this again, there's so much stuff I forgot. And I was just like blown away by how well they connected everything. I was like, holy shit. I don't even think I put all this together the first time I watched it.
Right?
So love it. Watch it.
Love it. Watch it. Good recommendation. And it takes place during Thanksgiving, so you can watch it with family.
Oh, absolutely right. This is another Thanksgiving movie.
That's to compile a list of Thanksgiving movies?
That is what I saw. I saw there was a list of Thanksgiving movies, and I was going to see how many we could pick out, but we'll save that for next time. I'm going to write that down so I can find that website again.
Ooh, one last little nugget. Prisoners premiered at the 2013 Telluride Film Festival in September 20th, 2013. It was originally rated NC-17 for substantial disturbing violent content and explicit images.
Wow.
After being edited, it was re-rated R for disturbing violent content, including torture and language throughout.
Jeez. I mean, get it. I could see easily it could get into that NC-17 rating.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. It's great. And now we got something to talk about future. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Spread the word. Yes, until next time.
Keep you out.
Keep you out.
A little dance. Raise the volume a little bit. Drink some water. Yeah.